Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
With another great weekend of Newark Sport coming up, it's time to find out what's going off in our wonderful town. Tony, press that button. Do we have a special treat for you tonight? Two young county cricketers are at Sport Towers to tell you all about their season and why they have chosen cricket. And yes, they are young ladies. We find out what's happening this weekend in the wacky world of Newark Sport, and we find out who the runner of the week is. Not this week, but about 3 weeks ago. But it's that special, it's taken a long time to catch up with her. You'll enjoy that one. I'm Mick Bradley, he's Tony Smith, and this is Radio Newark Sport. But at the top of the shop, it's time to find out who the local stars are. And there were 36 not-fast runners at the park runs last weekend, taking in Hocombe, Beltonhouse, Clumber Park and Newark. Bolton cyclist Isabel Darvell finished fourth in the Hitchens Nomads Women's 2-3-4 road race held at Great Barford. That completes a fantastic season for the young Balderton cyclist. And staying with cycling in round 5 of the Darley Moor circuits, up at Ashbourne, Leo Bass won the under 10 boys race, while big brother Finlay, well, he comes second in the under 12s. And finally, happy birthday to the president of the Andy Murray Fan Club, Newark Branch. Our tennis correspondent, Claire Hatry, celebrates a big day today. Happy birthday, Claire!
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Okay, before we talk to our young ladies, we were going to have a chat about the FA Cup on Monday, Tony, and it got sort of truncated big style with the events of last Friday night. So, what we did manage to talk about the games that took place at the weekend, but we never got round to the draw. This is the round now before the National League's clubs come into it. So we've gone from regional to you can get drawn anywhere now.
This is the draw for the third qualifying round.
You've said that on TV, haven't you?
No, it's just I'm so up to date with modern sport.
Oh, you should. But ahead of that, two or three little stories. You, as a professional journalist, will know all the answers, so I'll just ask the questions.
I keep telling him I'm a drugs dealer.
Right, the last Step 6 side in the competition are... You don't know. The last Step 6 side... Now, remember Newark Town and Flowsave are Step 7?
AFC okay. Mansfield?
No, they're Step 5 now.
Are they?
Yeah. Step 6 down there, and of course, it's a little one that I'm quite proud of. Bodmin Town from down there in dear old Cornwall.
How are they?
They are the last Step 6, but they've got to have a replay against Step 4 side Biddeford. Bodmin equalised in the 97th minute of normal time. The replay is next Tuesday, and if they win that, they get the joy of an away match at Haringey, North London.
Right.
Yeah, what fun. Elsewhere in the FA Cup, if Sudbury are to cause a shock and go a bit further, they've got to win in the third qualifying round because they've been drawn away. I'm going back to Cornwall now. National League South, Truro City. 360 miles each way. that's a bit of a trek, isn't it?
Well, that's why they regionalised it in the early rounds, yeah, so that it didn't cost the club so much money.
Exactly, but now it's the proper FA Cup, isn't it? You go anywhere. The tie that immediately catches the eye is a pairing of two clubs who went to Wembley last season. The FA Vars winners, South Shields, have been paired with the FA Trophy winners, York City. Now, that's a cracking game for South Shields. York City's probably three, four levels higher. Now, that is just... That would be their biggest game, apart from the trips to Wembley. That is a good one to look forward to. We'll stick with the North East, because my team, Newcastle Benfield, they caused an upset in the last round. And for their pains, they've been drawn at home to Kidderminster Harriers.
Wow.
Not that long ago since Kidderminster was playing league football, is it? Mm. So... That's a cracking tie there. I'll pick some of the games out for you from the...
What about my Nantwich boys?
I'll get there. From the 40 ties before the National League sides join. Some of the ties that I think will interest the people of Newark and will interest you. Tie number two, AFC Mansfield will play Boston United.
Oh, good Lord.
That's a good one, isn't it? To be honest... I wouldn't be over keen if I was Boston United going to Forest Town.
No.
To play AFC Mansfield. That would be a good game.
Not if I was taking my own car.
Your team, Nantwich Town.
Yes.
At home to Nuneaton Town.
Oh. That's not bad.
Basford United, now, and I keep saying this, Basford United, a team that used to play Newark Town no more than three, 4 years ago, have been drawn at home to Kettering Town.
Wow.
Stockport County will play FC United of Manchester. This is the real FA Cup, isn't it?
Kettering Town, didn't Mr. McNamara play for them at Wembley?
Yes. Yeah. Leamington Spa will play Gainsborough Trinity. We've already told you about the South Shields York City game. 40 ties to be played. I've talked about the ones in the northern area. The southern area, we don't really know them as well, do we? But AFC Mansfield against Boston United.
That's a massive game.
Isn't it just? That is one, you know, really to look forward to.
I'd be very surprised if that wasn't a sellout.
So a week on Saturday is the next round of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
As you know, with people that follow the show, we chose teams right at the beginning. I chose one nearest where the grandchildren live, which is Whitley Bay, where I'm at. You chose one which you thought
was fluent.
Tell you, fluent Geordie. You chose one which you thought was nearest to Newark, which it wasn't, but you chose Renneth.
Not very top of geography, no.
No. And we've moved on from there, haven't we? I've ended up with Newcastle Benfield, and you've ended up with somewhere in Cheshire with Nantwich Town.
This is making me very excited to do the book next year, first round to the final.
This was a book you should have done this year.
Yeah, but...
Until you realised that cricket took place in summer.
Unfortunately, cricket did take over, yeah.
Yes. The two real cricket stars sitting in the studio, so we'll move you out. And I found a fact today on Twitter. You'll love this fact. Approximately 43 million people have been born since Crystal Palace last scored a Premier League goal. Fact of the day. It doesn't get better than that, does it? Oh, dear.
Is that just in Clapham alone?
Okay, never ceases to amaze me, the young sporting talent that we find here. We've been sitting in this chair now for 15, 18 months.
Too long. Yeah.
And that's what most people say. And the youngsters that we have in Newark that are making the way in their chosen sport and making it well. We say time and time again, don't we? No, it can't happen again. We can't find any more. There's no more out there. But, you know, there are youngsters out there.
When we talk about the state of local football and local cricket outside of Kelham Road, then it is quite depressing. But when we talk about the youngsters, that's when we get the buzz on the show.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And I've been practising this name all week. Rhiannon Nolan Davis. Welcome to Radio Newark. I saw your picture on Facebook the other week with a Nottinghamshire County Cricket Club banner behind you, holding two trophies. And I thought, right, that young lady has got to come and see us out to Radio Newark. So, Rhiannon, warm welcome to Radio Newark Sport. Thank you for coming in. And over the next 40 minutes, you're going to tell us a bit about yourself and a bit about why you like cricket and Notts Cricket Club. First of all, who is Rhiannon Nolan Davis? Tell me a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a very sporty person, and when I was a lot younger, I was very sporty, and I tried out cricket when I was 6, and I just found my passion there.
And go on, carry on.
And my first season of hardball, my coach went to a Trent Bridge meeting, asked if they got any players, and I was put forward.
So let me just take it back a little bit, because I was a little bit shocked when you were talking to me before we come on the show. Mostly it's through primary schools, but this wasn't, was it?
No.
So just go into a bit more detail about how you found cricket.
So I was just sporty when I was younger, and like, my family are very sporty, and I found out there was cricket training when you're 6, so I went. And
so where was this cricket training?
At Farndon, yeah.
Right, so this is with Farndon Cricket Club then?
Yeah.
Because I know Farndon Cricket Club are very proud of what you're doing, and they've also posted, and I've done my homework and spoken to a couple of them, and they are so proud of you. When did Notts Cricket Club find you, or when did you find them?
So, like I said, my coach went to a meeting at Trent Bridge, and one of the people there said, "Do you have any players?" So my name was put forward, and then put through to a trial, and that's where I got in.
And it's all gone from there.
Yeah.
Now, a bit like London buses, you don't just get one young cricketer come, you get two young cricketing superstars come. And this is a young lady, I've heard the name before, but we're going to get a chance to talk to her now, Ashley Richardson. Ashley, welcome to Radio Newark.
Thank you.
Very quiet. She wasn't quite out there, was she? Again, tell us a bit about Ashley. Where do you come from? What school did you go to, and how did you find cricket?
Well, when I was younger, I used to just like play cricket in the garden with my brothers and my dad and stuff. And then at Connington and Winthorpe Cricket Club, my dad played there, and so did my brother. My dad started helping out with the Quick Cricket Club, and I used to just like come in and just have a mess around with them, and then I just like really liked it, so I just carried on.
And it sort of built from there. And how did you get your connection? When was you seen by Notts?
Well, one day I was playing in the nets with the under-15s team, and one of the boys' dad, called Paul, he like put me forward to Notts. So,
and it's gone on from there. So we're going to chat to you two more in depth about your love of cricket and what you do. We've got one mum and one dad, so we're going to talk to those two as well about how shocked there was when the six-year-old daughter comes home and says, "I'm going to be a cricketer," because it's not quite what you expect a six-year-old daughter to come home and say, and where they actually got this love of cricket from. But, Tony, as I said, most of it in the past has come through primary schools, but these two young ladies are prime examples of what is happening in cricket clubs. With Coddington and Winthorpe, which we've had in the studio before, and our friends at Farndon, you're doing the same at Newark R&M. It's so important now to bring on these youngsters, isn't it? Because it's going to be the lifeblood of cricket in seasons to come.
Yeah, I mean, cricket of all the sports, I think, is a bit like Marmite, in that you're either mad for it or you can take it or leave it. A T20 is going to save the sport. Because if you go to a county championship game, there's 4 old people under a blanket and about 3 pigeons, and that's it. That's your crowd. You go to a T20 match and it's banging all night. It's absolutely superb. Plus the fact you've done and dusted in 3 hours and you're back in the pub, which is a fantastic way of dealing with sport.
It's a circus.
But when it comes,
we can argue about this all night.
when it comes to attracting young people, then cricket clubs the heartbeat of the sport, because you're no longer having schools the Dave Smiths of this world. You no longer have teachers. And I'm sorry to all those teachers who do stay back and sort of give their time willingly. But in the olden days, Dave Smiths were at 10 a penny. You had three or four of them at every single school. And now it relies on the cricket clubs to provide for the future of the sport. And it's the local cricket clubs of this country that will keep people flocking to Lords in 100 years' time.
Ladies, you've heard the argument that I was just having with Tony there. Are you... I know you're cricket players, but when you sit in the home, do you watch cricket on television?
No.
No? Rhiannon?
Yeah, I do a lot of the time.
You do watch cricket. So, okay, then. So, you're going to be the voice here, then. T20 cricket or Test match cricket? What's your favourite?
Oh, it's a hard decision because they're both very different. A T20, I think it's a better atmosphere to go to a T20. All the fireworks going off, and it's a lot more likely you score more runs in a Test match quick.
When you're at Trent Bridge and they are teaching you how to play the game correctly, how to bat correctly, how to bowl correctly, are you being taught to the T20 way, that everything must be hit out of the ground, or are you being taught to play cricket properly?
Well, a bit of both, really, because they just tell you if it's there to be hit, then hit it, but it's not worth getting out to a smash.
Exactly, and that's the point, exactly.
The problem is... when
you're back, are you?
The problem is with T20 cricket is that Test players try and play T20 shots, and that is the downside of T20 cricket. The razzmatazz, the fireworks, everything else about it is fantastic, but it's creeping into Test cricket and it's ruining Test cricket for a lot of players.
And now we're agreeing. We're going to find out in 10 minutes' time if we've got batsmen or batswomen and bats or bowlers. Or, as I've been told before, accurate bowlers. It's Thursday. It's 20 past seven. That means it's time to find out who our runner of the week is. And I'm going to go back 2 or 3 weeks on this one, because it's took me that long to find this young lady and to get her on the radio. She's that busy. But representing Not Fast Running Club, courtesy of Ernie Clark, who's put all this together, welcome to Radio Newark to Caroline Upton.
Thank you. Hi.
Very pleased you could join us, because I've been wanting to talk about this since I read something that Ernie sort of let me know. You've got Ernie to blame for this, by the way.
Oh, no. I blame him for a lot.
We all blame him. probably about 3 weeks ago now, you was on foreign soil, and you was at Mont Blanc, and I've got down a 170-kilometre trail run round Mont Blanc. It's got to be more difficult than just saying it. Tell us a bit about it, Caroline.
Yes, I was in Chamonix in France for the UTMB, the Ultra Tour de Mont Blanc, which starts in Chamonix, and you run a huge loop sort of anti-clockwise. You end up going through parts of France, parts of Italy and parts of Switzerland, and end up back at Chamonix 177 kilometres later.
And it's that simple?
It's that simple.
No, well, it's not. It can't be.
No, I mean, I had a few problems on it, so yes, it's not quite as simple as it sounds, but it was a great experience nonetheless.
How long, I mean, just tell me how the weekend pans out, because 170 kilometres, I do English, but 170 kilometres strikes me as an awful long way.
It's about 107 miles.
That's a very long way.
That is a very long way.
So how do you go about that?
Well, it starts on the Friday evening at 6 o'clock at night. So they start it in the evening. So, all, you know, fairly quickly you're running in the dark, which you could say helps because you can't see the uphills, or you could say it doesn't help because if you're me, you then fall over your feet running down the hills.
Not fast trained.
Yeah, that's right. Started on the 1st of September, so 6 o'clock at night, and you've got 46 and a half hours to complete the circuit. But there are cut-offs at checkpoints along the way, so you've got to meet all the cut-offs as you're going round, or they stop you, so you've got to keep moving, basically. Yeah.
What sort of I mean, is it around the base of Mont Blanc? Or I mean, you've said hills, but when do hills turn into mountains?
Well, good question. I mean, overall, the total ascent on this thing is more than 10,000 metres of climbing on this thing. So that's quite a lot. So it's a trail. It's nearly all off-road, and it's a big trail that, basically goes around Mont Blanc. Luckily, they don't send you up Mont Blanc, but they find plenty of other hills to send you up. So, you're going over several sort of mountain passes, and if you're slow, then, which obviously, you know, I'm not the speediest in the world, then you typically end up running through two nights, because you've got the 46 hours, so you end up being out for two nights, whereas it's fasting.
So how much sleep did you actually get in those 46 hours?
Well, I didn't quite manage to do the thing. The problem is I've got to go back and do it again now, because...
That sounds a good excuse.
It does sound a good excuse. No, I got to just about halfway around, but after about 20 miles in, I managed to have quite a bad fall running down one of these very steep mountains in the dark. And I thought, stupidly, oh yeah, I can keep going, it'll be fine. So by the time I got halfway around, I was basically kind of hopping, and I thought, I can't really hop for the next 55 miles, it might be a bit tricky.
So you've got to book a holiday and do it again.
Well, yeah, I've got to book holiday and do it again, which I'll know what to expect next time, which will be good. But to actually do it, you have to qualify. So now I've got to do some more qualifying events to try and get into it again next year. So there's a whole list of events that you have to complete, a certain number of them, to get enough points.
Is that more trips to France or very nice places
Could be. The qualifying events, there's some in the UK, there are in different countries all over the world. There's a big list on the UTMB website of which these events are, and you've got to get a certain number of points within a certain number of events to be able to go into the ballot to get into this thing. So
how long have you been running with them, Ernie and the gang, then?
Oh, ages. It must be, at least, 8 years now, yeah. I think it's probably about 8 years. But the thing is, they kind of lull you in gently, and you sort of go out for some nice runs, and then you kind of build up, and you sort of, you know, build up your distances, and then if you're really daft, you sort of get into the kind of off-road, and I just got into the longer distance stuff because a friend of mine was into it, and said, oh, I'll give it a go, and yeah, so I did. And it's all been downhill since then.
We like... very much Not Fast and Striders here on Radio Newark Sport, because I think they introduce so many people either to sport or back into sport that would have been lost to sport, and I think that's very important, Carolyn, isn't it?
Well, absolutely, it really is. Yeah, no, you're quite right, because, yeah, Not Fast, we've got such a huge range of runners of different interests, different standards, people who are very, very serious, people who just want to do it for the fun and for the social aspects, and every kind of, you know, every sort of grade in between that. So, you know, and everybody obviously gets something really important out of it, and it does, you know, so it's very inclusive and very welcoming club, so yeah.
What's on the calendar for the next few weeks for you?
Well, I've got to work out if I can manage to do two big qualifying events between now and the end of December. I'm not quite sure if my injured knee's up to it,
right.
So I need to get out there this weekend and see how it feels.
And find out. Well, let us know, and we'll tell the rest of Newark what you're doing. And when you do it to the qualifying events, just give your press officer a quick nudge, and he'll tell us.
I will do. Yeah. Okay.
So. Slightly belated, but Caroline Upton, you are Radio Newark Sport Runner of the Week.
Wow, thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. Wow.
Talk to you again soon.
All right.
Thanks. Bye bye. Bye. 170 kilometres. Well, just over 46 hours. It's easy, isn't it? Let's find out what's happening in the national world of sport.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
You'll like these, Tony. The British and Irish Lions could have whitewashed world champions New Zealand 3-0 had they been better coached, says flanker Sean O'Brien. The Irishman started all three tests in the one-all drawn series, and he believes poor coaching prevented the Lions securing an historic victory. If we had a little more structure during the week and a bit more attacking game plan driven way earlier in the tour, I think we could have won 3-0. I take it he's probably up for retirement, is he?
Well, he's not really talking up his future, is he?
Not really. Andrónos Sabrona scored a 94th-minute winner as Real Betis shocked Real Madrid to win at the Bernabéu in La Liga for the first time in 19 years. Zinedine Zidane's side dominated for large spells, but Cristiano Ronaldo was among the home players to waste chances as Real produced 27 efforts on goal. That leaves the European champions 7 points adrift of leaders Barcelona. That's a long way in the Spanish league when there's only normally two teams in it.
Yeah.
So, a super white army banner was covered up during England's football match after a picture of it was shared online with the team's top players. The sign at Tranmere Rovers Ground was obscured by the FA for the Lionesses World Cup qualifier on Tuesday. Her post from the FA received criticism and praise. Tranmere Rovers Supporters Club said it didn't know why it was covered, adding it was not remotely racist and referred to the team's shirts. England's Lionesses have been embroiled in an ongoing row before the match over discrimination allegations made against team manager Mark Sampson, who of course has since been sacked over an unconnected matter. The FA confirmed it took down the banner at Prenton Park and it would make no further comment. Like the Mark Sampson thing, I think the FA have once again proved they're totally out of their depth.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
They've handled the whole thing terribly, haven't they?
Oh, yes. I mean, no different to what you would expect them to.
Really?
The top three at the FA say, we haven't been involved in it. The Mark Sampson thing. Well, yes, you have, because you're in charge. Anyway.
Just beggars belief.
It does, and they lead our national sport. You are indeed listening to Radio Newark Sport on the wireless with me and with him. But now, the stars of the night. The floor's open to our cricketers. And Ashley, tell us, you've told us who you are. You've told us you've been playing for Winthorpe and Coddington. Are you with the bat or are you with the ball?
I tend to bowl more than I do bat, but I do like doing them both.
Right. Without walking into the one I walked into last time, are you a fast bowler? Are you a spin bowler? Actually, I've reworded it this
time.
Yeah,
very well done.
I'm a fast bowler.
Yeah. How much do you practice? I know, how often do you go to Trent Bridge? Let's do that one first.
Well, I haven't been doing any Trent Bridge training. I've only been doing matches, but I do training with Connington and Winthorpe, but that's finished now, so we just do it like in the garden and over the park. But winter nets will be starting soon.
Winter nets will be so you actually practice all winter then?
Yeah.
And where's that at?
It's in the Magnus with Connington and Winthorpe, and then the trials for under 13 starting October, I think it is.
So you basically have to trial every year to get back to that keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
The bowling then.
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched fast bowlers all my sort of life. So I do like watching proper cricket. people like before your time, Michael Holding, Richard Hadley, you'd have heard about them, but it was poetry. It was natural. Is it natural to you?
Yeah, but when I was doing private training, I have got it faster than it was, but it was pretty fast to start off with.
So is it, to going back to my friend Holly, it's wonderful to be fast, but you also have to be accurate, don't you? Now, do you forsake speed in bowling for accuracy, or are you at the stage now where you can put that ball quite literally on a sixpence? You don't want a sixpence, do you? whatever the pound coin.
Well, it's accurate.
You be quiet.
It's accurate most of the time. There might be like one or two balls that go a bit off, but most of the time it's all right.
So when you are practicing, is it just over after over after over?
Yeah. And it's non-stop.
When you're doing that, and your friends are all out doing something else, do they torment you for not being with them, and do you sort of every now and again say, I don't want this, or is your mindset, I am going
to be a cricketer?
I'm not really bothered if I'm not with my friends and I'm doing cricket, but I do like to be with them, but there's school for that, so...
Exactly. Good answer. I like that. Yeah. Ashley's dad's sitting very quietly in the corner here. Two questions, really, Dad. And I always call Mum and Dad, because you are Mum. Yeah. So, two questions, Dad. Really, how was it in the Richardson household when she sort of walked in and said, I'm going to be a cricketer? Forget the dolls, I don't want them. Don't go and buy me a pony. I want to be a cricketer. Once you're over that shock, how did it go from there?
Well, I think it was just a natural progression, really. I mean, it wasn't a surprise. It was more of a surprise that how much she liked it. Because when I was up and out with a quick cricket at Coddington and Winthorpe, she used to come down when she was little and just help out and play about and just play with other kids, really. And then she joined herself and started playing, and she absolutely loved it. And in no time at all, she was better than me. And it was, as I say, she just absolutely loves it, and she's flying away at the minute.
I think you've answered my next question, actually. So, the love of cricket, you've obviously got a love of cricket.
Yeah,
so you was a cricketer?
No, I still am. I play for Farndon now.
Yep.
Well, Coddington and Winthorpe, I played for them for a while, a few seasons, while there was Coddington. And then we lost quite a few players just down to like, family ties and things. And so I was just looking for another club to join. And I had a few friends who used to play with Farndon, so I went down and had a little go. And I've been there, it's been my fourth season coming up now.
So have you played in the same team yet?
We have, yeah.
Because we had David Dakin and Hester Dakin in from Collingham. And his highlight was playing in the same team as his daughter.
Yeah, it was really good. We had a end of season President's Day, fun day, if you like, and we had a T20 game. And my middle son, or my youngest son, he plays as well for Farndon. So we were all playing on the same team the other weekend. It was great fun. It was really good.
Who's the best cricketer in the Richardson household?
Me.
That's the idea. Dad, same question.
He's there. Ashley's very good.
Who's the only one that's played at county level?
Well, yeah, she's... she's very good. So my son's very good. He's a bit more of a batsman, really, but he bowls as well. But I say, starting at such a young age,
The question I put to Tony about the importance of the youth systems now that's embedded into cricket clubs, because he is right. I mean, he wasn't quite right about Dave Smith, because Dave Smith was just fairly unique. He was top of the tree. But a lot of schools now haven't got the time for cricket. They haven't got the Dave Smiths, and they do play the softball. I think our primary school sports are second to none in this town. They're absolutely fantastic. When you get to the next stage up, maybe they've got to climb a couple of ladders yet. But primary schools is absolutely, I think, spot on. So the work that's going off at Farndon, at Coddington, at Newark, at Collingham, at Balderton, is essential to keep these youngsters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when it's hard enough trying to bring in new players anyway, you know, and the only way to do that is through the schools. They're doing a good job.
The name I've been practicing all week, and I got it right, Rhiannon. I saw that and thought, how do you say that? Sharon, how do you say this? Rhiannon. Rhiannon, are you a bats lady or a bowling lady, or are you a bit of an all-rounder?
Well, I'm a bit of an all-rounder. Like, I started off as a main bowler, and then through this season, really, I've found a passion for batting as well, and I've done really well in batting and bowling.
What position do you bat?
3 for county.
Oh, you see now that's the position. If you can bat 3, you'll play for England, because nobody else can. Go on.
No, I was just going to say that number three batsman is the key to any cricket team, because you then, if you've lost an early wicket, you're the new opener. But if you're 200 for one, then you're the guy who, or the player that dictates the game.
You are. You most certainly are. How many games do you play a season for? I'm talking knots now. How many games a season have you played? How many times have you been out?
Eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
So where can you remember some of the places you've been to?
Yeah, Lancashire and Staffordshire and Yorkshire and Derbyshire.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yorkshire won't be very good at cricket, but all the others will be all right. What sort of season has it been?
It's been a very, very good season for me.
For you?
I've found confidence in batting and in bowling as well.
So what happens now? I mean, Ashley's told us that she's got a few weeks off before you get back in the nets. Is that the same for you?
Yeah, so like Ashley said, we've got trials coming up in October, and then when we find out that we get in, we have training all through the winter, and that's the same with Farndon, all through winter.
What's it like at Farndon, training at Farndon? What how do they treat a girl, which is still in a man's sport, really, isn't it?
You know,
it really is. We had a young lady boxer in last night. And I think it's absolutely wonderful to see, because when we were young, you'd never see the only lady cricketer we ever knew was Rachel Hayhoe Flint, and you think, well, that's, you know, she's a one-off. But now our ladies cricket team are second to none in the world, and you can say the same to football and rugby as well. And we are absolutely, and we've opened the doors, and it's absolutely fantastic. And these are the age group that or benefiting for what's happening.
Can I just say something hugely controversial?
There's a shame. There's a shame.
just for a change, when you're watching ladies or girls play any other sport, it's not really a patch on men's sport. But when you watch...
Just Tony Smith is saying this, I'm not.
But when you watch girls or ladies play cricket, it is just every bit as good. It is fantastic. And I've watched the Notts ladies senior team several times when they played a lot of their cricket at Elm Avenue. And it is 10 times better than the men's first team, because the fielding, the ball goes in the field, the ball whips across the stumps, the keeper takes it first time, and you know, it's sensational sport. And I've watched some very, very good attempts with ladies playing at other sports, but cricket is bang on. It really is as good as you're going to get at the men's game. And the ladies final at Lords is going to have done 10, 20 times more for the sport of cricket than any of the men's games this season.
It most definitely has.
And as soon as India fully commit to the ladies' game as well as the men's game, it'll overtake world sport.
Yeah. Not often you're right, but I'll give you that one.
Can I go now?
Yeah, please. Rhiannon, where do you want to go with your sport, with cricket? Where's this trip going to take you?
Well, I'd love to play for Notts Ladies and hopefully get to a higher professional level.
And how much work's going to have to go into that?
Well, I'm practising a lot of the time of the week, so just carry on that, I suppose.
To do that, how many times do you go to Trent Bridge in the summer? Obviously, you have to go to wherever you're playing away, and does Mum have to take you?
Yeah.
Right. And training at Trent Bridge, do you go in the week?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like we've said before, it puts the onus on the parents all the time, because you can be an absolutely fantastic player. If your parents can't or won't, or they just haven't got the means to transport you all around the country, you're not going to make it. I naturally assume that
mum has got the car and it was nice and simple and life was easy. And I says, you know, every night you take over Nottingham and the weekends go and sit there and have a picnic while you're watching you play cricket. Yes, but I fly, was the answer. So, mum, how does it work, just from your point of view as a family, to support Rhiannon in what she wants to do and be there for her and hold down the job that you do?
Well, I have to be part-time at work, so I work a month on and a month off. I have to book my leave about 8 months in advance, so that's quite difficult as well, because you don't get to know the games, you know, that early. But I request the days off. I've been very lucky and I've managed to get her to every game.
Same question as I asked Ashley's dad then. When it become apparent the sport she wanted to do, was it why, or was it okay, that's your decision, we'll support you?
Absolutely, it was her decision, and yes, I've supported her. After a few months of playing at 6-year-old at Farndon, she just got straight into it. And I could see she enjoyed it, and it's all gone from there, really.
So you try and take a photo of you're guessing you're getting photo bombed from out there. Do you enjoy watching cricket, or did you enjoy watching cricket, or has it sort of grown on you?
I knew nothing about cricket, really, till probably last year, but I absolutely love it now. I must say, it's quite nerve-wracking. I walk round and I'm a bit shaky when she's out there, but, yeah.
And, of course, now it's hardball, isn't it? Now, I never used to like hardball cricket because it hurt. How do you sort of... Yeah, either of you. We'll start with Ashley then, yeah. Hardball cricket. You take it you're playing with the same cricket ball as the England men play with, really, aren't you?
Yeah, I never used to like hardball at all. I went for one, and then I was like, I'm never doing that again. But then I like started going because all my friends were moving up, and I was like the oldest one and the tallest one in quick cricket. And then I just like joined hardball, and I just really liked it.
Because the thing they used to say about Michael Holding and Joel Garner, we're our days, aren't they? You know, they used to be about 6'5" tall. Your daughter is 13 and she's already taller than what I am. That cricket ball is coming down when you bowl it, Ashley, from a hell of a height.
Yeah.
You're dangerous. If you get that on those stumps, Dad, have you faced her?
Yes, a few times, and it's quite scary. She normally does a few wayward ones. I don't know if it's on purpose to put me off or not, but normally the first one's at me head. And then, after about three balls, I'm normally out. She does whip them down pretty quick.
Did you take it easy on your dad?
No.
Is that a bouncer or a beamer?
No, that's just a beamer.
So, Mariana, as batting number three, if somebody like Ashley was coming down bowling at you, what's do you have a look at them first? Do you defend? I mean, I'm getting back to playing proper cricket instead of his circus cricket. Do you have a look at this bowling first?
Well, yeah, you just got to stay in a couple of balls, see how they bowl, but sometimes they're not always that good.
Are you in the same age bracket, or you're younger than Ashley?
We're the same age, but I was playing for under 13s. And
so, in practice, have you had Ashley bowling at you? Has that never happened yet?
Well, not really, but when she comes down to watch her dad, we sort of play in the net together, and yeah, it is quite scary.
I think I play from square leg.
Yeah, but you would wear a helmet. He's the only umpire I know that wears a helmet.
It's catching on.
Right, we'll come back with you superstars of the future in a couple of minutes, but we're going to find out next what's happening in Newark Sport this weekend. I'm enjoying talking to these that much. The conversation we've just had during the break about West Indies and fast bowling. And anyway, we'll get back to our couple of cricket superstars in a minute. This weekend, are you ready, Tony? Let's go.
Okay.
Newark Hockey Ladies get their season underway with a trip to Boots. All four Newark Hockey Ladies teams playing their first league match of the season. And I think somebody from the football world sort of donned the fixtures because all four are away. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. The ladies' first and seconds are away at Boots. The thirds are at West Bridgford and the fourths are at Worksop. Great things. I think the ladies' firsts could be our team to watch this season out of football, rugby and hockey. I'm going with the ladies' first, especially if they can make that one more super signing.
She's still not signed.
She's still umming and ahhing. She's still not quite there. We're nagging her to death between us. But she hasn't signed yet, so I can't do the exclusive. I'm promised. No names, no pack drill. Come on, Lynn! Newark Flow Serve. Played 7, won 7. They're at home on Saturday afternoon to Wollaton. Now, Wollaton haven't started at their best. Wollaton never do, because a lot of their lads are also cricketers. Cricket season's now finished. This will be Flow Serve's sternest test so far this season. Come through Saturday against Wollaton, and I think there's something to look forward to there. This will be a test, make no bones about it.
And they'll have to do it without me, because I'm in Skegness.
That's really going to be hard work for them. Newark Rugby Club play their first home league match of the season.
Oh, yeah.
3 o'clock kickoff. It's 3 o'clock, by the way, at Lowfields as well. 3 o'clock kickoff for Newark Rugby Club against an Ilkeston side that came down a division last season, but have started very, very poorly.
Are you going to be able to see that after your expansive lunch?
One's invited to luncheon at the rugby club, yes. as befits one's stature in this area. Yes, I've been very kindly invited to the president's lunch.
Are you a waiter?
Very pleased about that. Very, very good. I'm the one that does the comedy. So, come on, Newark. You won last week in extra time in the cup. Yeah. Let's get that first league win under about and get this season up and running. Also on Saturday, swimming. It's the Sports Centre League Round 5 at Hucknall for our swimmers, and I'm trying my best to find out how they get on, somebody in next weekend. It's the Robin Hood Marathon and Half Marathon on Sunday. No doubt not fast and striders are going to be out there in vast numbers. Tom Mallinson, who came in here and talked to us just before our break from Forest, he's running it for charity, and I'm going to try and catch up with Tom next week so he can tell us about it. You heard last week about the big boxing match on Sunday afternoon at the Cedric Ford with Jake Sharp, Ollie Marple, and our favourite, Nina Bradley. They're all boxing, local boxers there. And again, Andrew Sharp. Me, I've had such a busy weekend. I've got to go to this lunch on Saturday, which I'm sure is going to be hard work. And on Sunday, it's the Newark Rugby Girls Festival at Kelham Road. Somebody's got to do it, Tony. So I'm off to see the rugby girls on Sunday afternoon at Kelham Road. A busy, busy weekend in Newark Sport, which we're going to tell you all about next weekend. Next weekend? No, all next week. Our cricketers. What's our cricketers doing this weekend? Are they having a rest from cricket girls, or are you practising?
I don't really know.
That's good radio, that is.
That's a good answer, that, really, isn't it? Ashley, let me try you. Are you practising this weekend or having a weekend off?
Probably be playing in the garden, but that's about it.
But it's going to be a non-cricket weekend.
Yeah.
Do you like a rest from your sport, and then does it sort of make you want to go back to it if you had sort of a few weeks off?
Yeah, it does. Like, if I have a little bit off, I don't think I've ever gone like a week or less than that without playing in the garden with my brother. Whether it's just like a little game, it's just so much fun.
Excellent. Rhiannon, you're batting. When the under 13s are out there playing, excuse my ignorance, but is it a full size pitch?
Yeah, it is, but we play in a full size pitch, and sometimes it's slightly shortened, but not by much, really.
So hitting a four or hitting a six is an achievement, really, isn't it, then?
Yeah.
Do we hit many fours and sixes?
Yeah, last season I didn't hit any, and that was my goal this season, and I've done quite a few. I still haven't hit a six yet, but I'm sure I'll do it soon.
What's mum feel like when the sort of ball leaves that bat and goes for a four? Is you sort of sitting there? Yeah.
Excited and very proud.
Excited and proud.
Yeah.
And that's, and you know, that's what it's all. Ashley's dad plays cricket. Have you ever thought of taking up the sport and having a go?
Rhianna's laughing her head off at me. No. I don't think I'll play, but I'm quite.
Please
interested.
Don't.
You love it when they support you, don't they?
Yeah.
One bowls at the dad's head, and the other's asking the mum not to take up cricket.
It takes you to the park every week.
What schools are you at now, then?
I'm at Toot Hill.
Toot Hill,
Bingham.
And Ashley's at.
I'm at Will Robb.
Will Robb. What's the cricket like there? Is it, does it exist at either of those schools?
No, but my new PE teacher, she said that me and her should start up a new cricket team, because I found out not long ago that she quit playing cricket when she was 19 and she played for Worcestershire. So.
Well, she should be putting that back in, shouldn't she?
She said that we were going to start in summer.
You push her back into that. What about Toot Hill?
Toot Hill is very different. It is packed full of cricket in the summer, clubs and lots of teams and lots of cricket things to get involved in.
Right. So you're getting your practice at school, and has the school got a team?
Yeah, we've got, I think we've got two teams for every year.
So you're at the right school?
Yeah.
You're at the right school and going forward. Well, ladies, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us, and please keep in touch with us, because we want to know how you're getting on and where all this is going to take us. And you know, we do wish you the best of luck. Our number three batsman and our quick bowler, that's not bad, is it? I'll settle for that. That's fantastic. So Ashley, Rhiannon, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for letting them come in and coming and talking to us, no, yourselves, yeah, as well. We really do appreciate that. Coming up on next week's show, Tony, barring any sort of Friday night disasters, so I don't have to change the script.
As long as the pastor's church don't burn down.
Exactly. It should be Craig, Rob and Paul on Monday telling us how their respective teams have got on, and we'll have a look at what's happening in the world of sport in between that. Tuesday night, Flo Lishiman and Lottie is coming in. Florence and Lottie, they're cyclists. They're very good cyclists. And they're 12 and 10 years old. Two more superstars. A bit of a change on Wednesday. Dave Sharp is coming in his first season racing a V8 engine stock car on shale and tarmac circuits. And he comes from Newark.
He's a good mate of mine, Dave.
There you go, then. And on Thursday, Matt Snee's coming in, because we're getting very close to the Sports Awards. But for this week, enjoy whatever you're doing playing sport at the weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.